Have you heard about Chrislam? It's the mixing of Islam and Christianity together, and it may be coming to a church near you. I'm Eric Barger, and today on Take a Stand Radio, my guest and I will discuss what is really the deception known as Chrislam. Stay tuned.
It's time to Take a Stand with Eric Barger. Each week at this time, author, speaker, and noted Christian apologist Eric Barger is here to help you discern the times in the light of God's Word. And now, here's Eric Barger.
Hello, everybody. Take a Stand Radio is on the air. This is your host, Eric Barger. We're heard each week at the same time. Thank you so much for joining me. Today, we're going to pick up on part number two of my interview with Bill Muhlenberg of Culture Watch from Melbourne, Australia, concerning what I call the deception of Chrislam. I began airing the first part of the interview last week. You can listen to part one of that interview by visiting my website at ericbarger.com and by clicking the radio archive link. That takes you to all the past programming from Take a Stand Radio, so you can listen live online or download any program to your computer, your phone, or to burn a CD. Now, for the sake of many who may have missed last week's program, I'm going to replay a portion that was aired last week. But first, before we get into that, I want to get you a little refresher here to inform you and remind you about what Chrislam is. Those who have never heard of this before can visit our website for printed material or for a copy of my new seminar DVD teaching that's just called The Deception of Chrislam. You can get all that by going to our website at ericbarger.com. Now, Chrislam itself is the syncretic religion of Nigerian origin that mixes both the elements of Christianity and Islam together. We can trace it back into the 1980s. The idea was probably around before that, but that's as far back as we can get it. An imam and a pastor decided rather than warring with one another, they'd start looking at the things they had in common. What the pastor failed to do was look at the things they could never have in common. They are presupposing that these two religions worship the same God, and I believe every Muslim cleric knows that's not the fact, but they love the mileage they get out of this, especially with the foolish Christians or the ignorant Christians who really don't know about this issue. Chrislam says that Islam and Christianity are both Abrahamic. They think we get along because of that. They say that both teach morals and ethics and monotheism. Allegedly that both worship the same deity. They believe the Bible and the Quran are alleged equals, although you can't read them side by side. To do so, it would make you think that God must be schizophrenic. They believe that both Islam and Christianity are equal paths to God. Now, that denigrates the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, just to think that way. Now, Islam itself rejects the deity of Jesus in Surah chapter 5 in the Quran. It rejects his death on the cross in Surah chapter 4. And foolish Christians have gone as far as equating Joshua's taking of Jericho with the Muslim practice of circling the Kaaba during the Hajj, which is one of the five pillars of Islam. Now, you need to be also aware about Chrislam Sunday. The first Chrislam Sunday took place June 26, 2011, and this is where churches all across the United States and literally around the world decided they would have joint Muslim-Christian worship services. As I point out in my teaching and also in my DVD that, listen, one thing that was left out of that Chrislam Sunday celebration was there were no mosques involved, because no Muslim cleric would ever bring a Bible in and put it on the pulpit in his mosque and teach from it as if it was equal to the teachings of the Quran, because they don't believe that. Yet, you see, Christianity is who suffers. Christians are going to suffer, and Christianity itself suffers when Christians decide to go this direction. So with all that for background, let's get on with the interview with Bill Muhlenberg from Culture Watch in Melbourne, Australia. Bill is very knowledgeable about this, and so you'll want to check out Bill's website at billmuhlenberg.com. I have a link on our website in our links page at ericbarger.com to Bill's site. You'll want to go and read Bill's articles that deal with this particular issue, the issue of Chrislam. And he writes on a lot of really important issues for the church today, so I encourage you to get in touch with Bill and to read his insights. All right, here's the interview with Bill Muhlenberg. There are people who would convolute that and would say, well, we're all Abrahamic, as you mentioned, in our origins and so on. But Allah and Jehovah are not the same deity. The Jesus of the Quran is not the Jesus of the Bible. In fact, Muslims clearly deny the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the grave or that he even went to the cross. They believe in what's called the replacement theory, the idea that someone else went to the cross. So when they speak of Jesus, even though they mention him as being born of a Virgin Mary, they might use that term, Jesus. Let's not be confused about it.
Yes, absolutely. It's getting to be a worry, not just in the obvious suspects, right, the mainline liberal denominations, but increasingly many supposedly Bible-believing evangelical churches are simply, well, they simply don't have a clue what some of the basics of their own faith is, who Jesus is, why he matters, what his claims were to deity, the nature of the triune God, and so on. These basic core beliefs, which have always been the center of Christianity, even these are now being either watered down or ignored or simply not understood by many evangelical Christians themselves. So no wonder why when somebody comes along like this, tries to tell us that, hey, we can all get along in one big happy religious family, and there's really not that much difference. Well, sadly, a lot of people are falling for this because they don't know what they believe and they don't know why they believe. So ministries like yours are obviously hugely important to get Christians back to understand what is it that the Christian faith is all about, and the fact that there are actually those who are trying to destroy Christianity. There are those who don't like it and will use subtle and very deceptive methods to undo the work of Christianity and the cross, and I'm afraid Chris Lam is certainly another one of these.
I have for a long time said that we have there's nothing wrong with marriage seminars and nothing wrong with financial seminars, but let's not slap a scripture on top of that and then call it the gospel somehow. We have a breakdown going on of the belief system of Christianity, I believe, because we're light on teaching. We have Christianity light all around us. When I say light, I mean L-I-T-E. It is not teaching the virgin birth, the blood atonement, salvation by grace, the inerrancy of the scripture, the deity of Jesus, not teaching about the central doctrines of the faith. Those were the things that the early church learned, and they heard it over and over again and again and again, because the disciples knew those were the things that would hold the church together in troubled times. We're facing those troubled times again today, maybe not with the degree that we could be snatched off the streets here in America or Australia, but certainly around the world, Christians are in jeopardy, and in many places where the message of the gospel is in jeopardy, there's where the church is really digging in to learn what it believes. What a great contradiction it is that Islam would call Jesus a great prophet and then basically indict him as a liar, claiming that when he said he was the only way to be saved in John 14:6, that it wasn't true. We see lots of contradictions like this throughout the Quran, if you read the Quran next to the Bible, don't we?
Yes, absolutely. It's important not only that Christians know what they believe in terms of their own scriptures, but as I told an audience just a week ago, as I debated a leading Muslim, I said, look, actually, don't pay any attention to me. And with all due respect, don't pay any attention to our Muslim friend here. I said, go to the sources themselves. You read for yourself. Read the Quran. Read the Hadith. Read the Sirah, the biographies of Muhammad, and see for yourself what the documents say. There'd be many Muslims today who, in fact, are trying to steer Islam away from their own founding sources, and they're almost embarrassed about their own doctrines and their own core texts. So it's easy to listen to a secondary source, whether myself or a Muslim leader, but better yet, just go back, read those documents yourself, and you'll quickly see the huge, huge difference between biblical Christianity and Islam. There's just no comparison. In fact, you'll read and find even more alarming things, such as the doctrine of taqiyya, the idea that religious deception is allowed in Islam. If in order to gain a foothold and to promote Islam, you need to lie to the infidel, to the unbeliever, that's certainly accepted. Muhammad practiced it, and it's enjoined in the Quran, in the Hadith. So, it's not really a level playing field here. Christians are expected to tell the truth and be honest, but Muslims see it as a religious duty to deceive and use falsehoods in the promulgation of Islam.
Taqiyya and Kitman both, the idea of deceiving an infidel for the cause of Allah, and I mean, these are honorable things according to what the Quran states. And interesting you bring this up. This has been one of the things that I've spoken about. Every time I speak on Islam, I bring that point up, that peace treaties signed with Islamically controlled nations may not be really worth the paper they're written on. Depends on who the leader leaders are, because according to the Quran, it's an honorable thing to deceive those who are infidels. And of course, who is the infidel? It's anyone who's not of the house of peace. And who's not of the house of peace? Everybody but Muslims. Something you said there a few minutes ago, I think I want to bring the point out here, that when you do go right to the sources, and I think that's a great way to do it. I always tell people, don't believe what I'm saying. Go and check it out. Do your own research. And when you go right to the Quran very clearly says that Allah did not have a son, and that anyone who says he had a son is wrong. I mean, they make that point so clearly in Surah chapter 4. And of course, Surah is the names of the chapters in the Quran. But Surah chapter 4 clearly states that Allah would not share his glory and did not have a son. So where does that put Jesus? You see, he's only but a prophet. But then, of course, he couldn't have been truthful, because what is said about him in the Bible is obviously incorrect if you look at it in the light or by the way that Muslims would look at it. And once again, just like when we talk about Mormonism, and there's a lot of similarities here as I've researched Mormonism throughout the last 20 or so years and have dealt with lots of people who are in the LDS Church, when you look at this and you understand that we're talking about a different Jesus, a different gospel, a different spirit, and you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 and 4, and you see the Apostle Paul warned us about this very thing. Don't be taken in just because somebody can spell Jesus or claims to know who God is. Let's make sure that they're talking about the God of the Bible. Bill, I want to get into these 10 reasons before our time slips away. The 10 reasons to say no to Chrislam. And again, this is an article by Bill Muhlenberg. You can find it at BillMuhlenberg.com. And I'm going to spell that for folks just at least this one time. It's BillMuhlenberg.com. I believe you can probably find Bill by searching for Culture Watch as well. If you use a search engine, you'll find him. He's got some great material. And we want to go down through these 10 reasons to say no to Chrislam. Bill, just why don't you go ahead and dig into number one, and we'll comment as we go along here.
Okay, the first is obviously the clear warnings we have in Scripture about the dangers of religious syncretism. You see this in the Old and the New Testament, whether it's Elijah challenging the prophets of Baal or Paul walking through the streets of Athens grieved at all the idolatry. The Bible is quite clear. You don't mix and match. You don't blend religious traditions together. In fact, you make it quite clear that if one is true, the other cannot be, and that's certainly the case with Islam. So from the very start, we're on the wrong footing if we think we can somehow blend or mingle the two religions when, as you pointed out already, they're so much opposed on the very core doctrines.
Eric Barger here, back in the studio, folks. You're listening to Take a Stand Radio. We're talking to Bill Muhlenberg from down in Australia about the deception of Chrislam. Now back to the interview. Number two goes right along with, just follows right along with what number one is, and that is that the Bible frequently attests to the demonic basis or underpinnings of idolatrous beliefs and non-Christian religions. And that's it. The Scripture warns us that when we decide to accept other belief systems as either somehow compatible or acceptable or could go alongside Christianity, we really decided to mix the most holy God with that which is demonic, because there is only one way, not two or five or ten, but only one way. Number three, the two are completely incompatible belief systems, and I think we really touched on that already as we began the discussion today. These are belief systems that really do not go together, cannot go together. Number four, this attempt at interfaith dialogue simply compromises the Christian gospel. It puts the gospel of Jesus Christ in a precarious position. Any comment there?
Well, I mean, again, if you want to get along with others, build bridges to reach them and so on, that's all fine, but it really depends what the motivation here. The truth is, Paul and others spoke about the offense of the cross. It's simply impossible to proclaim the gospel as it is without expecting others to get quite upset. And again, as you've already mentioned, Surah 4 and plenty of other passages, what Islam believes about God, about Jesus, is directly opposed to what we believe. So very hard, it seems to me, to have much of a basis for interfaith dialogue when our starting points are so completely at odds with one another.
Number five, I think, is one of your main points, and the attempt to reconcile these two belief systems together only benefits Islam and only hurts Christianity.
Yes, that's right. It really is one-way traffic. The truth is, Islam benefits greatly. It gives them a foothold to enter our churches, to further promote Sharia law in the West, which is happening all the time. And the simple way to see how this is not helpful to us is simply to ask the question, could we do the same in their situation? Could we have such a debate or a Bible reading in a mosque in America? In fact, I told my debating partner last week that this debate would not take place in Iran or Saudi Arabia or the Sudan. It's only because we live in a non-Muslim Australia that we were able to have this debate looking at the core issues of Islam. So, again, one-way traffic, absolutely. Muslims benefit greatly. It gives them a foothold into a Western nation, into Christian culture. But really, Christians are the big losers in this kind of situation.
Yeah, I point the same thing out, that on Chrislam Sunday, last June 26th, where they had this joint Muslim-Christian celebration in so many churches across America, there was one thing dubiously missing, and that was no mosques were involved, because no imam would allow a Bible to be brought into the mosque and read, certainly by a Christian minister from a Christian viewpoint. That would be completely off limits, but somehow we think it's acceptable to bring the Quran in and do that inside of churches. When I say we, of course, you and I don't, and hopefully biblical Christians who are listening to us don't agree with that idea. And this really lends to your sixth point, which is that all this really does bring about the legitimization of Islam. It elevates Islam up, and it certainly makes it appear as if we think it's somehow okay. I'm now having to answer people, to talk with people, to try to dialogue with those who believe that because some Christians have accepted Islam as compatible with Christianity, that there's something now wrong with me because I see it according to what the Scripture says.
Yes, that's right. And we can't forget that Islamic da'wah or mission is an integral part of their very faith. They're a missionary faith, as is Christianity. It's their job to win everyone to Islam, to see everyone submit to Allah. And so they're on a mission. Here in Melbourne and Australia, they're taking ads out, for example, on buses saying Jesus was a prophet of Allah and things like that. It's clear deception, but they're on a mission to evangelize. And again, if we had that freedom in Islamic countries, that would be something, but we just don't do have that freedom. And therefore, again, it's this process of Islam gets the benefit, Christianity, in fact, gets demeaned, and it's exactly going to plan.
Yeah, that's it. I was in Kansas City last summer and being brought from the airport to the place where I was going to speak, and we went by a billboard on one of the freeways that was a pro-Muslim billboard that mentions even Jesus believes in Islam. And I thought that was very interesting, and I wanted to get a picture of it. We went back 2 days later, the billboard had been changed, so I didn't get a picture. But it goes right along here with your seventh point, which is there is no counterpart in Muslim countries. You already mentioned that. This is not acceptable to do this kind of thing in Islamic countries, and we should let folks know there are 60 or so countries that are controlled by Islamic doctrine and Islamic governmental structures in the world. So we have a large number of nations who are controlled by Islamic doctrine. This leads us right into point number 8, Bill, and indeed it is a lopsided endeavor that causes damnitude, with Christians really being subservient in Muslim countries, even in the countries that are claim that they have some kind of openness toward Christianity. And in most of those countries, Christians and Jews certainly are put in a second-class citizen state. Isn't that correct?
And that's exactly what's being promoted in the West. They want to, in the end, treat Christians as dhimmis, as second-class citizens, to see their place subservient to the real religion of Islam. So that's really what, at the end of the day, much of the interfaith and the Chrislam movement is all about. It's creating dhimmitude here in the West.
Number 9, we've already mentioned this, but I want to say it again because I think it's such a great point, that instead of allowing this misinformation campaign by the Islamic propagandists, which is really what it is, we need to be teaching our people sound Christian doctrine. In my notes here, in your article, I printed it out so I'd have it right in front of me, I wrote in big letters, yes, because that's such a main point in my ministry, that Christians need to know what they believe and why they believe it. First and foremost, we should never just become an expert on any of the other religions or about any of the cults or the occult around us. We need to know what we believe and be able to solidly place our feet lead our lives, our trust into that belief system too. And so let's be learning what we believe rather than giving a place to Islam. Number 10, and as we close these 10 reasons, and again, I really encourage folks to go to your website, Culture Watch, and to get this article, Chris Lum, 10 Reasons to Say No. Chris Lum, 10 Reasons to Say No. Number 10 is, if people of different faiths want to discuss matters on an informal basis, there's nothing wrong with that. You mentioned that a little while ago. But if the Christian church needs to do anything, and that's to focus on discipling and shepherding and protecting its people.
Absolutely. If people want to debate, dialogue, and have discussions with their Muslim friends, by all means do it. I wouldn't do it in a church, wouldn't do it at a Christian prayer breakfast. In fact, the debate I had last week, I think, was done in the Royal Perth Yacht Club, so a very kind of neutral venue. But the point is, Christians of all people should be evangelizing. They should enjoy the fact that we have so many Muslims in the West. I think it's providential. God has brought them here so that we can befriend them. We can have relationships with them, obviously, so that we can show them the love of Christ. So it's a two-headed affair here. On the one hand, we have to resist creeping Sharia. We have to resist Islamic deception, which is taking place in the West. But on the other hand, we certainly do have an obligation to try to win our Muslim friends for the gospel and let them know that Jesus is the way. He's not the Isa of the Quran. He's much different. He's somebody who died for them, who loves them, who can give them into a loving relationship with Father God. All these are alien concepts in Islam. So by all means, have your dialogue, but we shouldn't do it just for some mindless getting along and so on. It's so that we can win them to the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Bill, and that is really the mission that I believe everybody listening right now should take part in. Whether we be witnessing to Muslims or to atheists or Hindus or whoever it might be, but our job is to present and present faithfully the gospel of Jesus Christ in a lost and dying world. Hi, everybody. Eric Barger here back in the studio. We've been listening to an interview I conducted for Jan Markell's radio program with Bill Muhlenberg down in Australia, dealing with the deception of Chrislam. Now, if you're new to this and you've not heard about Chrislam before and you need information about it, of course, you can't talk about Chrislam without understanding what Islam is all about either. Well, our website is probably someplace that you want to know about. We have a lot of resources on the website that will help you. First, my newest seminar DVD teaching is called The Deception of Chrislam, nearly an hour long. It was recorded in Minnesota just a few months ago. It's got lots of facts and details and information that will help you to understand the differences between Christianity and Islam and how they are not compatible, don't worship the same God, their books are different, how Allah and Jehovah are not the same deity. This is stuff that every truly born-again Christian needs to understand. Next is my DVD called The Truth About Islam. And this has been one of the most sought-after items in our ministry. It's certainly one that has affected a lot of people. So both these DVDs have lots of visuals and so on. They're both done before live audiences. And they're the kind of DVDs you'll want to get to be able to share with somebody else, to share with friends or family or those at church. Each of the DVDs are $16 plus shipping here in the United States. And we'll actually ship these around the world wherever you want them shipped. The CDs, that is the audio CDs, are $7 of these messages, and you can get them by calling us at 214-289-5244 or by visiting our online bookstore at ericbarger.com. Again, The Deception of Chrislam and The Truth About Islam. Well, this ministry is brought to you each week here on the radio by Take a Stand Ministries, Rowlett, Texas, and is funded by the free will gifts of our friends and our supporters. We wouldn't be here without you. We greatly appreciate you. I'm glad you tuned in today, everybody. This is Eric Barger. Please join me again next week for the next installment of Take a Stand Radio. Remember to keep taking your stand this week on the Lord Jesus Christ and His precious word. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you again.
With nearly three decades of experience, Eric Barger at Take a Stand Ministries exists to see the lost saved and the church changed by providing cutting-edge insight on issues facing us today. This is a listener-supported ministry, and your participation is needed. Please consider a gift to help Eric and Take a Stand challenge both the world and the church. Send your gifts and requests for products mentioned on this broadcast to Post Office Box 1485, Rowlett, Texas, 75030. That's Post Office Box 1485, Rowlett, Texas 75030. Or call us at 214-289-5244. This is John Clemens reminding you to join us right here again next week and encouraging you to take a stand for Jesus Christ each and every day.
This is Eric Barger with a special message for our friends here on the Christian Satellite Network. To help support and expand the outreach of Take a Stand Radio, I have a special offer for you. This week, for a gift of any size to the ministry, we'll send you a packet of our first three Take a Stand journals. These handy booklets are loaded with insight concerning discernment, apologetics, Bible prophecy, and current events. This packet includes a special expanded journal of over 50 pages on the emergent church movement, and another whole journal dedicated to the topic of Mormonism. With articles authored by me and other choice defenders of the faith, this special pack of Take a Stand journals will be informative, challenging, and evangelistic. To receive your three-pack of journals, just make your best donation to Take a Stand Radio. To do so, call us at 214-289-5244 or visit ericbarger.com. Together, let's make a difference in a lost and dying world.